The reading I am doing this week is passages from chapter John 6. Right before this, Jesus has fed the 5,000. Maybe you remember this story. People, crowds, thousands of people are coming to hear him speak, and he's concerned they're going to miss a meal, they're going to be hungry. So he takes those few barley loaves of a little boy and some fish and feeds 5,000. And then he goes away and he's going to the other side of the lake, and that's when we join the story. When they found Jesus on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And then the Jews began to complain about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread of life that comes down from heaven." And they were saying, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. And I will raise that person up on the last day, for it is written in the prophets. And they shall be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life," he says. "Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, ever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Well, I've got to tell you, I have had a very unusual last 2 weeks. It's been really unusual because I've gone on a mission trip that you heard about from the kids. I've been a bridesmaid in a wedding. I came back and worked for 6 days, and then I drove up to be a guest at a wedding. It's been a whole bunch of food and love and busyness. Now, I have to admit, I have not been on a mission trip, a service project, for about 20 years, maybe longer. When I was an associate pastor, I organized them, I commissioned and blessed them, and then I went home to sleep in my own bed and not on the floor of a gym. And I found it really different to be there again. Now, and then I tell you the truth, I haven't been a bridesmaid in some 30 years, and I was only a bridesmaid once. And here I was at 57 being a bridesmaid. And then I went and was a guest at a wedding in Healdsburg this weekend. When do I get to be a guest? I'm always the minister, and no one really wants to talk to me at a reception, except that crazy religious aunt they make me sit with at meals. So I just got to be a guest. So it was a different kind of week for me. A whole bunch of love, a whole bunch of feasting, a whole bunch of work. And I thought, well, in some ways, that's what the church is about. We do a lot of feasting and service and kind of living in love. We give it our best. And I'm caught by here, we know that this is about what we're about. We come to this table to be nourished, to be fed, to be inspired, and then we go out in the world. I mean, church is just not an hour and a half, and that is it. We come here to get inspired, to heal, to get hope, but then we go out once again. We come here to remember to be grateful, to remember that God loved us first, and we really do not deserve it. And that love leads us into service. It kind of feels to me like it's a big old circle for me. Love, feasting, service, and God at the middle. I think it may be more like a spider web. They kind of feed in and out of each other. Sometimes the love makes me want to do service. Sometimes the service makes me grateful. Sometimes I'm just glad to be feasting, because love happens at regular meals. It doesn't have to be around a communion table or around a fellowship hall. Love is presence in lots of places. So I was a part first of the Sierra Service Project. And I got to tell you, I didn't know quite what I was getting myself into when I sent out the invitation. These two took it. We went with about 20 or so Calvary and St. John's Presbyterian Church kids and joined about 70 others to sleep on a gym floor. Well, let me say, Lord have mercy, mattresses have changed in 20 years, so it wasn't bad for me. I had a blow-up mattress that was this big, and I was happy, and that was good. What I wasn't ready for was the lunches every day. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, peanut butter, jelly, a loaf of white bread, and an apple. And I didn't have any choice. And you know what? I don't like peanut butter. I do not eat peanut butter, and yet that was my only choice. I live in a world where I can eat about anything I want. I have enough money, enough choice. If someone comes by the church and they're hungry, I'll say, I'll fix you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And they can say yes or no. And I forgot what it's like not to be able to say, well, really, I'd like roast beef and some cheese, please. And so I had a sit out. I did a group. I worked with 5 14-year-olds, 2 girls, 3 boys. And we built a fence. And we would sit under a carport in this heat that Eva talked about. I think it was 100 degrees and eat our slightly melty peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I had to eat them because I was trying to be a sandwich role model. But I gotta say, when you're hungry, you eat what's put in front of you and you find to be grateful about that. But we had what they called the spiritual sandwich, which was kind of devotions, Bible study questions. And when you're talking in depth with kids and laughing with kids, even peanut butter and jelly tastes like a feast. And then what Branch did not say, and I still have some envy about this, Branch worked at a house, at a place where they cooked them lunch every day. They invited them inside the air conditioning house, invited them to sit at the table, and gave them fabulous food that they cooked themselves. Deep-fried tacos is one of the things I heard about. And how amazing that was, that the ones who were supposed to be served, helping, were the ones that were now serving the kids that had come there. And they were sitting around a table looking each other eye to eye. And there was a feast going on. We always think, we're the one helping, but maybe the truth is we are helping each other. My group, with the melty peanut butter and jelly sandwich, built fences. And they were really important fences. And we were using band saws, chop saws, and drills and tools I had no idea how to use. I mean, let me tell you, I was totally unprepared for this. But they had staff who taught us how to use those tools. I mean, honestly, they had hour lessons on how to use power tools, and those leaders would stay with the kids until they figured out how to use them. I mean, some of the girls said, oh, we can't use power tools, and the leader said, you're going to learn. And so he worked with them until they got confident in that. No one was let off of working, and they were empowered by what it was possible to do. And I had to leave a day early because, you know, I was going to go be a bridesmaid. And I got sent a picture, and they built a beautiful redwood fence, and they completed it. And it looked good, because that leader, the staff, expected them to do good work, and they did. And there was such pride in those young ones' faces. Earlier in the week, one of them said to me, Maggie, why don't they come out and thank us for the work? And I want to say, well, maybe because you're driving them crazy, but I didn't say that. And I said, I don't know, maybe they're busy, maybe they're shy. Maybe, I thought to myself, the real gift is they're letting us work for them. We should thank them for the opportunity, but I didn't say any of that. And at the end of the week, the other counselor said to me, that same young boy went and shook hands with the family after the fence was done and said thank you. See, he had figured out that service and love go in and out of each other. We're calling you friends now. And they had become friends. They learned about hospitality. They learned about love, and they learned about compassion. And I was glad to be there and to be a part of that. Because then we understand we all do this out of the love of God, and we serve each other, and it's not about us. That's a hard one for 21st century people, that you don't have to be thanked. You do it because we have enough, and we're told to share. So there was feasting and love and service in that group. And then I went and got on a plane, flew home, and drove up to Santa Rosa because I was a bridesmaid. Now, I really wasn't a bridesmaid because I'm 57-year-old. I haven't been a maid in decades. And I don't want to be called a matron because I don't feel that old yet. So they just made up a name for me. They called me the Macaroon of Honor. I don't know why. I kind of liked it. And I had to take classes on how to bustle a wedding dress and how to get the bride in there. Oh, my Lord. It was a fabulous wedding. Two pastors, Diana, a Presbyterian pastor who's preached for you before, and Lindsay, a Methodist pastor, decided to get married. And you know, when you get two pastors together, Lord have mercy, they got some opinions. And they started their wedding service off. Well, let me first, that scripture from Solomon that Branch read, that was one of the scriptures at their wedding. I love that kind of, that love that cannot be quenched, that love that grows. And they started their service with communion. Now, I thought, you're losing your mind. You're wearing a white dress. And you want to serve communion? Well, I did have some influence. They used white grape juice. But the brides and myself and another person got to serve communion. That's how we started that service. They said in the Methodist church, everyone is invited to the table. If you're walking, if you're on a journey, you go ahead and come. And so people that were there to celebrate came and enjoyed that communion meal of love. Love and hospitality brought them to that table, and it was an ordinary table. It was like one of those plastic tables downstairs. It wasn't fancy and all pretty like this one. It was an ordinary table that became extraordinary because the love of God was lifted up and shared in that day. And I was caught by that. There was love, and there was serving each other, and then they took off that communion wear, and that's where we had the dinner. There was a beauty in that. I learned that love and service and feasting all happen at once. I think it was a sacrament, that meal, in some ways. And you know what a sacrament? It means something holy, something set apart. Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, wouldn't it be lovely if we had it this week, but we didn't. The Lord's Supper, Eucharist, means thanksgiving, that we are thankful that God loved us, that God has chosen us, that we didn't earn that. We call that grace. And so we come because we're invited by God, invited to follow in the ways of Jesus. We come to this table hoping we'll be healed and nourished and strengthened for living out the faith in the world. It's not about an hour and a half in church. It's about how do we transform the world into a place of justice, into a place of love, into a place of welcome, where there is feasting and love and helping for everyone. Maybe we come to be fed spiritually, and maybe we come to be fed physically in a church, but we're set out to serve others too. I am caught that kids didn't talk about this, but on our free day, they called it Adventure Wednesday, we got to go, half of our group went across the border into Mexico, and the other half stayed on, about a third, stayed in the U.S. side. There were about 70 kids in all this. And so we go over the border to a place called the Friendship Garden, Friendship Park. And on the Mexico side, there are painted murals and gardens to eat and chairs to sit. And then on the U.S. side, it's just kind of wild estuary parkland. And we heard the story that Pat Nixon, the president's wife, started this garden way back in the 80s, I think. When was he president? 70s, thank you. And she went down to this place, and she wanted to start a friendship park between Mexicans and U.S. So there was just a barbed wire fence there. That was all there was, and she had her Secret Service guards cut it down. And she said, friends will always be neighbors. So for many years, there were picnics there and celebrations there, and then people would go back to their own side. Well, when 9/11 happened, a very big wall got built. It's a wall made out of metal with teeny little grates that only your fingers can touch each other. And people would still meet because you could see the person. And they would meet during the week in this in-between land. And then the U.S. built another wall. So you had Mexico wall, no man's, no woman's land, and then the U.S. wall. And now every Friday and Saturday and Sunday, they let about 20 people in just to touch and see each other. And our young ones got to be on either side and do what they call a pinky kiss. Can you imagine being able to see your loved one and all you can do is touch your fingers together? Well, our kids got to experience that, and they heard about a church. On one side is the American Methodist Church, and the other side is the Mexican Methodist Church, and they work on one sound system. And so they have worship together. One part does, and the other part answers. And they have communion. On the Mexico side will be some of the words, on the American side will be the other, and they break bread together. They can't really see each other, they can only hear each other. They said they do this so they will remember that there is a God of no borders, that God is bigger than the walls, that there is justice and peace to be hoped for, that all God's children will have enough to eat, will have enough love to love who they want and see their families, and that there will be feasting, feasting at a heavenly table, feasting in a table at someone's house with deep fried tacos and feasting in a meal like that. And I remembered we're in that circle of love where service and love and joy feed into each other and lead us to God and then lead us into the world. Lord, have mercy. Two weddings and a service project. Thanks be to God. Amen.